CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzer with Adrian Wooldridge, Badgett, the columnist for The Economist magazine, and also the author of The Aristocracy of Talent, his new book about meritocracy, how we all go through steps in our careers and the meritocrats find each other and exchange vows, except when there are important political events. And there's one right now during these organizing week of the United Nations General Assembly. The Prime Minister of Great Britain and his Foreign Secretary have traveled to America to meet with the President and Vice President, but also to present themselves to the UNGA in person. Importantly, it was virtual a year past, and we're still in a pandemic. Adrian, there's so many things that Boris Johnson has to achieve now, and I want to speak to the important thing of the economy and safety of the people of Britain. Mentioned is a free trade agreement with the United States following Brexit, which introduces the matter of Brexit and this unpleasantness over AUKUS, which we'll speak to in just a minute. Is Boris Johnson still being judged by his own party about how he handles after Brexit? Is this make or break for him to get a free trade agreement with the U.S.?
Well, it matters a great deal because so far Brexit has produced remarkably few positives and a lot of negatives. We've renegotiated a lot of trade deals with various countries around the world, but that simply replicates the status quo that we had with Europe. There's no real big thing that you can say. We have empty shelves at the moment. We have trucks not traveling to Europe because of bureaucratic red tape. We have lots of things that make it look as though things are going worse, but nothing that he can point to and say this is a marvelous thing. So he really needs this free trade deal with the United States. That would be a game changer, and that would be something that Brexiteers would crow about till the end of time. But it's very, very difficult to do, partly because trade deals just take a long time to negotiate, and partly because American trade negotiators are very tough, but also because there are a number of issues, starting with agriculture, which are very, very complicated, because the British do not want certain ways of preparing meat and poultry, which are acceptable in the United States, but not acceptable to most people in the British public.
As I read the best I can to catch up on Brexit, there is the matter of Ireland as well, and the hard border or soft border with Ireland, the only contiguous land border that Britain has now with a member of the EU. I had a conversation with an Irish scholar recently, and I was surprised to hear what I thought was a note of unhappiness about Brexit and about Britain and how it's handled the Irish question. Is that one of the unfinished pieces of business with Brexit, what to do about that border?
It's a huge problem, because if you have a real border between Northern and Southern Ireland, then you have to reintroduce all sorts of custom checks, which are politically extremely volatile, which cause a lot of anger. But if you have a border, as we do now, in the Irish Sea, as it were, you're sort of making a distinction between Northern Ireland and the rest of the mainland, which is extremely alienating to the loyalist community in Ireland. So that's a huge problem. And the way to do it, that Boris has tried to deal with that problem, is to pretend that it doesn't exist. And just ignore it. But ultimately, you can't do that in law or in reality, in trading reality. So it's there. It's a thorn in our side, and there's nothing really we can do about it. I think.
I wonder also, because we have fresh information, and I read the papers as closely as I can, but I don't actually experience it, that there are now large energy questions introduced for your coming winter, having to do with, is there going to be enough energy and how is it going to be paid for with the prices skyrocketing? I don't know. Is that part of Brexit, or is this a separate matter that developed?
No, that's not part of Brexit. It's part of the greening of the economy, I think. That's what we've been basically doing is not creating enough supply of energy and try and deal with all sorts of energy problems just by creating quasi markets or pretend markets in things. And what we're seeing now is the energy prices surge. First of all, a potential for big increases in prices, but secondly, a potential for lots of these companies that trade in energy going bankrupt because they're not big enough, they don't have enough supplies. And thirdly, if those two things roll together, energy shortages and blackouts in the winter. So we could have a winter of discontent, which is the dreaded phrase, because it was the winter of discontent which destroyed the Labour Party and brought Mrs. Thatcher to power. But we could have a winter of discontent in which we're all freezing because we don't have energy, enough energy. And the big thing here is it's greenery that is the question, greenery which will be exposed, because we've been trying to decarbonize the economy. We've been trying to get rid of dirty supplies and replace them with clean supplies. But we've been running faster than we can walk. And so people are suddenly realizing, well, it may sound all very good in theory, all this greenery, but what happens when we can't heat our homes?
That's a very good question. However, we're not finished with Brexit, because Adrian knows that France has introduced the Brexit matter with AUKUS, and I've waited till now, and I'm going to turn to AUKUS because it is really confusing this far away. Britain joining with Australia and the United States in a trilateral security arrangement to do with nuclear-powered submarines in future. At the same time, France is enraged, if I read the headlines correctly, and is now talking about Brexit being part of the upset. So Adrian Wooldridge, The Aristocracy of Talent, is his new book. The aristocrats, the meritocrats of France are unhappy with the meritocrats of Great Britain, and I suspect the United States and Australia, but chiefly the darts are aimed at Mother Britain when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.